Randy, also for the leading us in the beautiful prayer. And thanks to each one of you for your presence with us tonight. We welcome everybody. We're glad to have some of you as our guests with us tonight. We thank our young people for the work they have been involved in and that they'll share with us later on tonight. And we're thankful for our brothers and sisters who've worked as their mentors. And they're getting ready for the LTC convention, which will be this Friday and Saturday. And we pray for a good upbuilding time for the whole group. And we're thankful for what things like this mean for the future of the congregation here and for the Lord's work everywhere. We're going to take a moment tonight away from our Sunday night series in which we have been involved in order to tie together some things from our Sunday morning series in which we've been involved. Thanks to all of you, by the way, for your comments about the studies from the Sermon on the Mount. I hope our lives will all be richer for having had an opportunity to think through that. And I know when we talk about a series which has 18 parts to it, that seems rather daunting, but it is, after all, the Sermon on the Mount, and that's how we've done it. What I'd like to ask you to do tonight is to think with me about the whole sermon all put together. You may think of it as not the parts which we have studied, but maybe think of it as integrated Christian spirituality. That would be a way of thinking of it. Or the philosophy of life, of a whole life that is both taught by and modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ. This view of what a man or a woman's life can be is so much needed, and I've been encouraged by it. What I want to do tonight, with your permission, is just to read the sermon to us. I've chosen to do it out of a version that probably, I'm thinking, probably no one carried with them here tonight. The New English Bible, which is not new. I think it came out 65 years ago. But it is a way of asking you to listen to this as if you hadn't heard it before. That's a strange thing for a preacher to say when he's just been preaching on it all winter. But really, I'd like you to lay down your Bible tonight for one time and just listen. And think what it would have been like if this approach to life, this were the first time you had heard such a concept of life. How would it have struck your heart? And what would you have felt because of it, or decided because of it, or done with it once you had heard it? Just think along, if you would, please. Here's what the Lord taught. How blessed are those who know that they are poor. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. How blessed are the sorrowful. They shall find consolation. How blessed are those of a gentle spirit. They shall have the earth as their possession. How blessed are those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail. They shall be satisfied. How blessed are those who show mercy. Mercy shall be shown to them. How blessed are those whose hearts are pure. They shall see God. How blessed are the peacemakers. God will call them His sons. How blessed are those who have suffered persecution for the cause of right. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. How blessed are you when you suffer insults and persecution of every kind and every kind of calumny for my sake. Accept it with gladness and exultation, for you have a rich reward in heaven. In the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. You are the salt to the world, and if salt becomes tasteless, how is its saltness to be restored? It's now good for nothing but to be thrown away and trodden underfoot. You are the light for all the world. A town that stands on a hill cannot be hidden. When a lamp is lit, it's not put under the meal tub, but on the lampstand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And you, like the lamp, must shed light among your fellows so that when they see the good you do, they may give praise to your Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to complete. I tell you this, so long as heaven and earth endure, not a letter, not a stroke will disappear from the law until all that must happen has happened. If any man therefore sets aside even the least of the law's demands and teaches others to do the same, he will have the lowest place in the kingdom of heaven, whereas anyone who keeps the law and teaches others so will stand high in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless you show yourselves far better men than the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have learned that our forefathers were told, do not commit murder. Anyone who commits murder must be brought to judgment. But I tell you this, anyone who nurses anger against his brother must be brought to judgment. If he abuses his brother, he must answer for it to the court. If he sneers at him, he will have to answer for it in the fires of hell. If when you are bringing your gift to the altar, you suddenly remember that your brother has a grievance against you, leave your gift where it is before the altar. First go and make peace with your brother, and only then come back and offer your gift. If someone sues you, come to terms with him promptly while you are both on your way to court. Otherwise, he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the constable, and you'll be put in jail. I tell you, once you're there, you will not be let out till you've paid the last farthing. You have learned that they were told, do not commit adultery. But I tell you this, if a man looks on a woman with a lustful eye, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye leads you astray, tear it out and fling it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole of it to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand is your undoing, cut it off and fling it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole of it to go to hell. They were told, a man who divorces his wife must give her a note of dismissal. But I tell you this, if a man divorces his wife for any cause other than unchastity, he involves her in adultery. And anyone who marries a woman so divorced commits adultery. Again, you have learned that they were told, do not break your oath. And oaths sworn to the Lord must be kept. But I tell you this, you are not to swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king, nor by your own head, because you cannot turn one hair of it white or black. Plain yes or no is all you need to say. Anything beyond that comes from the devil. You have learned that they were told, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But what I tell you is this, do not set yourself against the man who wrongs you. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn and offer him your left. If a man wants to sue you for your shirt, let him have your coat as well. If a man in authority makes you go 1 mile, go with him too. Give when you're asked to give, and do not turn your back on a man who wants to borrow. You have learned that they were told, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But what I tell you is this, love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. Only so can you be children of your heavenly Father, who makes his sun to rise on good and bad alike, and sends the rain on the honest and the dishonest. If you love only those who love you, what reward can you expect? Surely the tax collectors do as much as that. And if you greet only your brothers, what is there extraordinary about that? Even the heathen do as much. You must therefore be all goodness, just as your heavenly Father is all good. Be careful not to make a show of your religion before men. If you do, no reward awaits you in your Father's house in heaven. Thus, when you do some act of charity, do not announce it with a flourish of trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, to win admiration from men. I tell you this, they have their reward already. No, when you do some act of charity, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing. Your good deed must be secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to say their prayers standing up in synagogue and at the street corners for everyone to see them. I tell you this, they have the reward already. But when you pray, go into a room by yourself, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is there in the secret place, and your Father who sees what is secret will reward you. In your prayers, do not go babbling on like the heathen who imagine that the more they say, the more likely they are to be heard. Do not imitate them. Your Father knows what your needs are before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, thy name be hallowed. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us the wrong we have done, as we have forgiven those who've wronged us. And do not bring us to the test, but save us from the evil one. For if you forgive others the wrongs they have done, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then the wrongs you have done will not be forgiven by your Father. So, too, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They make their faces unsightly so that other people may see that they're fasting. I tell you this, they have the reward already. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that men may not see that you're fasting, but only your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees what is in secret will give you your reward. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where it grows rusty and moth-eaten and thieves break in to steal it. Store up treasure in heaven where there is no moth and no rust to spoil it, no thieves to break in and steal. For where your wealth is, there will be your heart also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eyes are sound, you will have light for your whole body. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be in darkness. And if the only light you have is darkness, the darkness is doubly dark. No servant can be slave to two masters, for either he will hate the first and love the second, or he will be devoted to the first and think nothing of the second. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I bid you put away anxious thoughts about food and drink to keep you alive, and clothes to cover your body. Surely life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow and reap and store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are worth more than the birds. Is there a man of you who by anxious thought can add a foot to his height? And why be anxious about clothes? Consider how the lilies grow in the field. They do not work, they do not spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor was not attired like one of these. But if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown on the stove, will he not all the more clothe you? How little faith you have! No, do not ask anxiously, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? What are we to wear? All these are things for the heathen to run after, not for you, because your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Set your mind on God's kingdom and his justice before everything else, and all the rest will come to you as well. So do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will look after itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Pass no judgment, and you will not be judged. For as you judge others, so you will yourselves be judged. And whatever measure you deal out to others will be dealt back to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye with never a thought for the great plank in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is that plank in your own? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not feed your pearls to pigs. They'll only trample on them and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there a man among you who will offer his son a stone when he asks for bread, or a snake when he asks for fish? If you then, bad as you are, know how to give your children what is good for them, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Always treat others as you would like them to treat you. That is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. The gate is wide that leads to perdition. There's plenty of room on the road, and many go that way. But the gate that leads to life is small, and the road is narrow, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets. Men who come to you dressed up as sheep, while underneath they are savage wolves. You will recognize them by the fruits they bear. Can grapes be picked from briars, or figs from thistles? In the same way, a good tree always yields good fruit, and a poor tree bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, or a poor tree good fruit. And when a tree does not yield good fruit, it's cut down and burnt. That's why I say you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my heavenly Father. When that day comes, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out devils in your name, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them to their face, I never knew you. Out of my sight, you and your wicked ways. What then of the man who hears these words of mine and acts upon them? He's like a man who had the sense to build his house on rock. The rain came down, the floods rose, the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall because its foundations were on rock. But of the man who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them, what of the man who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them? He is like a man who was foolish enough to build his house on sand. The rain came down, the floods rose, the wind blew and beat upon that house. Down it fell with a great crash. And if there was just silence then, you on the hillside where Jesus taught that with other people, what would you have thought and what would you have done? Doesn't that sound like it has a ring of truth to it if you really think about it? It is a way to live life that has been thought about and that someone has lived and faced the worst with it and then was raised up. And it's what you and I are invited. Remember that when we talk about Christ, we refer to Him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The fact that He's Lord meant that He had the right to teach what He did in the Sermon on the Mount. Expect us to take it to heart. But trying to live that way makes us appreciate the fact that He's also Savior. It takes us, when we fail to do that, and is willing through the gospel to remake us and to put us on that foundation and to invite us to really live. And we encourage each one of us in that project, if we haven't made the beginning, to do so. And if you made the beginning and you wonder along the way if that was the right choice, it is. Stay with it. And remember that the Church of Christ needs to be recognized by the life of Christ. Think about this grand sermon over and over and over again. If you need tonight to respond to it, please let us know by coming while we stand and sing.